It's time for Blessed to Play on EWTN Radio, uncovering the role that faith plays in the lives of sports professionals from around the country. And now, here's your host, Ron Meyer.
Fire, score!
My guest today is Taylor Kemp, and at the age of 28, Taylor retired on a career that included a U.S. men's national team call-up and 101 appearances over 6 years in the MLS with DC United. I'll talk to Taylor about his career in soccer and why he chose to retire, and about a pilgrimage that he set out on, the Camino de Santiago de Compostela, a six-week, 500-mile pilgrimage from southern France to the northwest corner of Spain. We'll talk about this great trip that Taylor embarked on, and what were the fruits of it? He'll explain. Taylor, it's great to have you back on Blessed to Play.
Yeah, thanks, Ron. Thanks for having me.
Well, what a career you did have as a professional soccer player. And I know when the music stops, it's a difficult transition for most professional athletes because they don't know anything else. They did this and strove to be at the top of their profession, made it, then the music stops. But you dealt with a slew of injuries, and at the age of 28, in fact, within the last year to year and a half, you decided to retire from Major League Soccer. Tell us why you chose to retire, and how has that transition been post-retirement?
I mean, the simplest answer is my body kind of told me that it was time to retire, but the real like blessing of it all was that I was also, in a sense, ready to retire because it kind of, like you said, through the injuries, took some time. I had some time to kind of come to the terms to see the writing on the wall. But just because of my injuries, it became quite clear that I wasn't going to be able to get to where I needed to be physically to play as well as I would like, as well as my team and coaches would need me to. And so, yeah, I knew, you know, this year it became quite clear that that was the direction things were going. And I think everyone hoped that maybe it wouldn't be, but it was. And it's been as good of a transition as I think I could have hoped for.
When you're a professional soccer player or just a professional of any sport, you deal with the notoriety. You're constantly being looked up to, the money. Was it difficult for you when all that just stopped and you had to deal with going on with your life in a different fashion?
Yeah, to some extent. I mean, first, like, I was never that well. I mean, defenders often aren't, but I was never someone that was really all that up in the media. I was never paid a crazy salary. So, I mean, to be fair, I was never someone that struggled with those things in the first place. It's also, I mean, it was just the spotlight was never something I even loved too much. I also never really had a huge one on me, which I preferred. But I mean, truthfully, and this is something you and I talked about in our first interview a while back, but those kind of like hurdles, not seeing my value in the opinions of others and the need for money and affirmation had kind of been taken down when I converted to Catholicism. And mm-hmm. So I think that made it a lot easier when the time actually came for me to retire. I saw it more as just soccer was something I did and now it's something I don't do. It wasn't like my kind of self-image and like vehicle to, you know, joy was kind of taken away from me. So I'm really thankful for that.
Blessed to Play, Ron Meyer, chatting today with Taylor Kemp, a former Major League Soccer defender with DC United, now retired. All right, Taylor, let's talk about this pilgrimage, this quite a journey, 500 miles. And I don't know how long it took you, but it's all on foot. And it wasn't posh by any sense of the imagination. And you embarked on this pilgrimage on the Camino with your wife, Britt, and her little sister. But before we get into the whole details of what went on and some of the highlights of the trip, if you will, tell us why you decided to embark on the Camino.
Yeah. So the story's pretty funny. Back in the spring of 2018, I had a team appearance and I came home from the appearance. And my wife was Brittany was kind of in between what she wanted to do for work, and we had both talked about how we really wanted to do a pilgrimage, and we had considered going to Lourdes and like Medjugorje or Poland or something like that. And I come home one night, and it's late. It's like 9 o'clock. And I come in, and the lights are completely out in our apartment, and she's sitting there with the glow of the computer screen on her face. And she just looks up at me as I come in the door, and she says, I know what we're going to do. And I'm like, okay, what? And she's like, we're going to do the Camino. And I was like, awesome. What's that? And she kind of tells me about it. So that was the early seeds. And then it took a couple months to kind of really wrap our heads around something that was going to take so much time. And it's like a grueling process. So, but those were the early seeds.
All right. So you're a professional soccer player. You've dealt with a lot of great training and you had to be in the best of shape. Was this really tough to do 6 weeks, 500 mile on foot?
Yeah, I mean, it was far more difficult than I actually expected it to be. Like, you kind of go in thinking it's going to be hard, but it was truthfully, like, brutal. I mean, the first 2 weeks especially, your body's not used to it. No matter how much exercise you do, I mean, if you work out pretty hard for an hour or even 2 hours in a day, that is still vastly different than walking continuously with, like, a 30-pound backpack for 10 hours every single day. So the first 2 weeks are really hard, and then your body kind of adjusts. And it gets easier, but it was so hard. I mean, it was hard for everyone, including myself, and I was a professional athlete. The remarkable thing is there's also people there that are like 70 that are doing this every step of the way. And I'm sitting there looking at them. I'm like, how in the world are you doing this? Like, I feel like I'm going to die. Oh, it was tough.
So we used the term pilgrimage, and a lot of people embark on the Camino for different reasons, soul searching, to get a way to find themselves, to find a deeper relationship with God. And everyone is searching. I think we could say that on the Camino. So tell us some of the stories. I'm sure you're meeting people along the way, but your search, why did you go on the Camino?
Yeah, so we went, originally our plan was because we knew we wanted to do a pilgrimage. This one was really attractive because of how mundane, how long, but how difficult it is. But we had a feeling that we were moving into this transition in our lives where we were moving from really a life we had into probably a very new life. And we are now there. We've moved home back to Denver. I've retired. Bernie left for work. So we used it as kind of a transition hinge. And we kind of looked at our life and we were like, well, what do we want our lives to be? And we had, for years now, we've wanted to make every decision we do about going to God. And being that's what a pilgrimage is, it's a physical enactment of the interior going out to God, if you will. We thought, what better way to make this transition? And so going into the Camino, that was our full intent was, I mean, sure, we thought that soul searching or self-discovery might be an aspect of it. But truthfully, we just went in. We were like, God, we want to know you more. We want to love you better. We want to enjoy the things that you put on this earth for us. And so that's why we're here. And that's what we wanted to do. And for the most part, that's what we found. A lot of other stuff too, but.
Blessed to play Ron Meyer chatting once again with Taylor Kemp, former professional soccer player and embarked on the Camino, a 500 mile journey starting in France and ending up in Spain. Well, let's talk about this, Taylor. Everyone suffers, and there's going to be a little bit of suffering when you're hoofing it for 500 miles. But talk about why everyone suffers.
Do you mean in life or on the Camino?
Well, I guess it would be both, right? I mean, there's a suffering that goes on the Camino, but you could use that analogously to life as well.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's what we found time and time again on the Camino is how much what we were experiencing there does really apply to life. And so we all suffered in very different ways. My wife definitely took the brunt of it. I mean, she had an Achilles injury and had to take the bus. She like fell out of the top bunk of one of the albergue beds. We had some run-ins with bed bugs that we had to deal with. She got the flu. She seriously got beat up, but everyone had their own struggles. So, and in talking to people, we were really the only religious pilgrims that we actually ran into, to our surprise. And so in talking to people, we're like, well, you know, how did you end up coming here and walking to the tomb of an apostle? Like, what are you doing? And typically everyone's answer was they had suffering in their life, whether that was from they got out of a bad relationship or they were really unhappy with work or they're having family troubles or they're struggling with depression. They don't understand the purpose of their life. So typically people were there as a result of some type of suffering. And then what we also found is people were rather discouraged actually on the Camino itself because they found it was so hard that they just kind of felt continually beaten down in a sense. And so talking to people and thinking about this in our own way, it's like, well, yeah, of course, everyone has their own struggles, some more public, some more severe, but everyone has them. And we found that a lot of it, and this is perfectly in accord with the Catholic Church, is it's not about if you were suffer, but how. I mean, Christ didn't come to free us from suffering, but to give us, give it meaning in a sense. So we found it very just prevalent along the whole thing, and just the struggle of it adds to that. But I mean, it was great for us because there was meaning for it. You can offer it up as cliche as that can be at times, but it was everywhere.
So when you go through this, I don't know if you were sleeping in houses along the way or you just slept on the ground. I'm not sure what your arrangements were, but...
Not quite on the ground.
Okay. But nevertheless, when you wake up in the morning and have to continue on, you know it's not going to be a posh environment. And did you receive any enjoyment out of doing this, or was it all kind of this, I'm offering enough, it's suffering, every day is a burden? But what did you receive as far as joy by going on the Camino?
Yeah, so just to explain, like, kind of what we found, people are quite curious about this. So the sleeping environment, you sleep in what's called albergues, which are, they're kind of like a mix between a dorm room and like a hostel. So they're typically these bigger rooms with anywhere between like 5 and 50 beds. And so they're communal rooms, and they're bunk beds, terrible mattresses. There's no sheets. You just sleep in a sleeping bag. There's no pillows. They're typically really cold because we went in the winter, and there will be like 2 showers. So the environment is very minimal. It's not terrible, but it's minimal, certainly. I came to actually love it because it was so basic, so simple. You kind of realize how little you actually need of the like bells and whistles of all the nice luxury items that we have at home. And so I wrote this in the blog that I had on our website, called onpurposepilgrim.com, where I talk about how something I was concerned about was the beds, because I have a bad back and neck and have had issues in the past with like my neck spasming because of those things. So I was really worried about the bed. And what I found is that I slept amazing because my body was so exhausted. And so some of the joy, we found tons of joy throughout the whole Camino, don't get me wrong. But some of the joy came from just like how at peace and how at rest your body was at the end of the day, because we spent it doing like physical good things. And it felt, you had this really satisfied sense when you would get in bed at night, and I ended up sleeping great because my body's exhausted. And I come home now and I'm like already back's hurting in like a perfect mattress. And I'm like, yeah, I should probably get moving again.
Well, Taylor, let's, you had the opportunity to go on this pilgrimage with your wife, and I understand her little sister too, but the whole concept of marriage here and you're going on a pilgrimage together, did it strengthen the bonds? What did you find out about your marriage, about yourselves during this process?
Yeah, definitely strengthened the marriage. That a lot of that, though, was after the fact. I mean, we got in some big fights, but Brittany's little sister was there, as you said, and we got in some fights with her. We got in fights with other people. I mean, tensions are running high when you spend every day together in very close quarters with very minimal personal space, and you're exhausted.
Right.
Like, you're in a foreign country. You're not eating great. You're not sleeping all that well. Like, you don't have anywhere to get to. So, like, this constant rubbing of shoulders with each other drives you crazy, especially for someone like me that's an introvert, and you can't really go anywhere to kind of, like, recharge. But we found it to be like quite healthy in a way, because you'd kind of internalize it for a while, but you couldn't do it for that long. You're walking with each other, like you can't get away from these people, so you might as well hash it out. And so we found it like a great time where you're walking for so long during the day, you might as well have a 3-hour fight. And then what we found is at the end of those 3-hour fights, you understand the other person better, you kind of clear the air, and then you're actually better and closer for it. So my wife and I are definitely closer now because we did it. We looked back on it with a very fond memory, but I mean, we got in some huge fights. We were at each other's throats at a couple points. That was true for everyone we met. But it was a helpful thing that you can't just dig a hole and throw your problems into it and pretend they're not there. Just bring them out in the open. It's okay. We're people. You know, we're going to get on each other's nerves no matter how much you love each other. Any married couple knows that. So
yeah,
it was a really healthy time for that, I'd say.
Yeah, it sounds like it would be a great reality show, but unfortunately the TV cameras weren't there. All right, let's Let's take a break. On the other side, I want to talk to Taylor about why the Camino is an analogy for life. We're here with Taylor Kemp, the former professional soccer player with DC United. Stay with us. Bless to Play will be right back after this.
Welcome back to Bless to Play. And now, here's your host, Ron Meyer.
Welcome back to Bless to Play. Ron Meyer joined today by Taylor Kemp. What a career he did have in Major League Soccer with DC United. 101 appearances. He even had a stint with the U.S. national team and enjoyed a great career as a soccer player, and now has transitioned studying theology, but really taking his spiritual life very seriously. And we're talking about his pilgrimage on the Camino de Santiago de Compostela, 6 weeks, 500 miles, walking it with his wife, Brittany, and her little sister, and some tales to tell, and we're getting right into it. Before the break, I wish Taylor brought a camera with him. He was talking about some tensions along the way, some joys, some suffering. But let's talk about the Camino as an analogy for life. And I know you went on this trip, like you said, not a lot of people that you met went on it for spiritual purposes, but you went into it to enrich your spiritual life. What did you find out about yourself? And also talk about virtue and the decision, an overarching theme that you have to make a decision to lead a virtuous life.
Yeah, so, I mean, that one of the big reasons we wanted to do it was because of its analogous quality to life. So something that I've always liked, and I picked this up in school, was the call to sacramentalize your everyday life. So meaning, similar to the sacraments, make your life a sign of the invisible reality of the life we live. And so, as Brittany and I said, and the reason we did the Camino is we want to go to God. And so we are physically enacting what we are interiorly trying to do. And so what we found was this was like marvelously true. And this will tie into virtue here pretty soon. And what we thought, like, we kind of went into the Camino thinking it was going to be this unbelievably powerful, enlightening, revelatory, experience. And what we found was it's quite the opposite. It's very mundane. It's not always pretty. It's quite difficult. You're often exhausted. You're not eating well. It's not a glamorous thing, like, at all. And we found that, like, that's life. You have moments where you'll see, like, really pretty things and you'll have great moments. And then there's other times where it's just very like, ho hum, this is boring, like, whatever. And so, what we found is that you constantly every day have to choose, like, God, I trust that you put in my path this day, whatever it entails, whether that's the exciting and beautiful or whether that's the ugly and mundane and boring. But that trust that in somehow something, some, like, this is happening to me for some reason for my good. And that includes the people we met. Like, God, for some reason, this person is in my life. Like, what is that reason? Help me to cooperate with whatever it is you have in mind for me with this person. So we really like that. In regards to virtue, and this was something we really only thought about after the fact. We did kind of realize it in the moment, but couldn't exactly put words to it. But we had this vision. We'd go on this thing, and we would just be praying all the time because we're walking for 10 hours. We have tons of free time. We're not listening to anything. We're not watching anything. We have nothing else to do, so we're just going to pray all the time. And that didn't happen. We would get to the end of the day and be like, how in the world did we not pray at all? And we did nothing for 10 hours. Like, this is crazy. And we realized it's like, no matter what, how much time you have or how little time you have to choose to do the things that matter. Like, the good things in this life, the good things in the world, they never just happen. You never just fall into them, no matter what, really. And so we've saw that, like, this is virtue. You have to choose with intent what you want to do and then actually do it and act upon it. So you grow in fortitude. And so we found that very specifically in praying. Like, we had to wake up and be like, okay, within the first hour of our walk, we want to pray a rosary. After lunch, we want to do this, after whatever, because we never just did it naturally. And we found that I put a list up on the blog of, like, things that this holds true. And it's, you know, like, prayer, working out, planning ahead, going to confession, apologizing to a friend, like, all of the good things that you don't regret after you do them, you never really want to do them. You kind of have to choose and then do them, and then they kind of come easier over time. But we found that to be very true on the Camino. It didn't matter that we had 10 hours. We still had to very intentionally choose what we did. And we're really trying hard to bring that home with us, because we know once we get busier, that'll even be a little bit harder. But realize that the good things, the things that like God calls us to do, mass, confession, forgiving, all that stuff, you don't just fall into it. You have to choose it. And then in time, that habit will grow in you. And then that's what virtue is.
Well, let me ask you this. Let me build on that. When you're an athlete, a professional athlete, you had to get up out of bed. You had to go work out. You had to go to practice. But there was accountability to your team and to your coaches and even to yourself. But what you're describing, you don't have God really breathing down your back. You could choose freely whether you're going to do it or not. And no one's going to kind of say, hey, you know, what's going on here? So did your athletic training kind of help you in that sense to be more disciplined?
Yeah, I definitely think so. That's why I think, I mean, Bishop Robert Barron talks about this a lot, but I think the athletic life not only prepares you, but is it just a fantastic way to compare this, to talk about the spiritual life? Because athletes are pursuing excellence through routine practice. And like everyone knows that a professional athlete will not become a professional athlete just because they woke up one day and decided they want to do it. It came through hours and hours and hours of years of practice of very basic things when they typically didn't want to do it most of the time. But that's what creates them. Then they are free to play the game at such a high level. And this routine work ethic is what creates, what gives them the freedom to do something at such a high level. That's a perfect analogy for the spiritual life. A routined and disciplined spiritual life will give you the freedom to make good choices often and well, and to become a saint truly. So, like, I love that. I think sports prepared me, and I've seen it in many of my friends, a disposition to discipline, which I really like, because sports, you're denying yourself all the time. Like, you're not eating certain foods because it's not good for you. You're getting up early because you have to work out. You're getting criticized by your coaches when you certainly don't want to do that, but because you're learning. So it disposes you to a certain type of life that I think is necessary to really draw close to God. And it's all the more fruitful for it. But that applies to work too. I mean, you have to work at any craft. You have to work at your craft. And if when we realize that our ultimate end is sainthood, is God, your craft is becoming a saint. So if you can work on that in small ways daily, you will be so much better off and your life will become far easier.
Yeah.
And it's typically in small ways more often than in big ways less often, which I think is very much in line with the athletic principle. You're better off doing something for 30 minutes five times a week than for 2 hours once a week. And I think that's true for the spiritual life, too.
And we talked about the word virtue, which essentially is the habit of doing good. So if you practice or cultivate it, these things are going to become virtues in your life, whether it be discipline on the athletic field or in the spiritual life. Blessed to play. Ron Meyer chatting today with Taylor Kemp. Once again, he was a professional soccer player and had a great career in the MLS with DC United. We're talking about his pilgrimage on the Camino. And we have a few minutes left, but the Camino was done. It ended, and you're probably grateful that it ended when it did after 500 miles. And I know Brittany had some problems along the way, and she was kind of disappointed that she couldn't. I think she had to take a bus at one point, and that she didn't wasn't able to tough it out, so to speak, and that bothered her. But after all this suffering and everything, and you were able to get back home, or wherever you went after the Camino, and reflect on everything, what was there one or two things that kind of just popped into your head and said, I, you know, something that came out of it that really inspired me for the rest of my life?
Yeah, I mean, two things. And the first one is typically the answer, because when we came back, everyone asked us the question, like, what was your big takeaway? And it was truthfully, I was kind of at a loss for words because it's so long and there's so much going on. It's kind of hard to like in one phrase explain it. But basically where I finally came upon an answer that like kind of satisfies, I think it is, and that I tell people is your life will be better for doing it. Like there's so much you can say about it, but I don't think anyone's life would be worse off for doing the Camino. So I highly recommend it to anybody who's thinking about it. It's really an amazing thing. The second thing, though, that was a really kind of big takeaway of it was something that was just so, it almost in a romantically beautiful way about the Camino that not only we found, but that a lot of other people found was its simplicity. Mm-hmm. Everyone gets, I mean, think about like people's lives today and work. Like you just have 1,000 things going on. You have emails, you have bosses, you have like so much to do. Everyone is so busy in this frantic world. You got kids running around, you got responsibilities here, you got this, that, and the other. And we found that a lot of people did the Camino because you have like, you have one thing to think about. You wake up, you pick the town you're going to, and then you walk. That's it. Like you have no other responsibilities. You have one focus, and people loved it. And we came to love it. We missed it. We've come home and we're like, I miss waking up early when it's like painfully early when you're exhausted. I miss waking up like that, but knowing exactly what I have to do today. And it's not only, it's simple and it's attainable. It's a very clear goal and it gives you the sense of achievement at the end of the day. And so we came home and we're like, look, we need to make our lives more simple. And that's so much easier said than done. I understand. But we said, like, look, what is our destination and where are we walking every day? And I mean, genuinely, we are trying as best we can to make that God. And so that'll take very many forms in our day, whether that's in meetings, whether that's in prayer, whether that's in working out. Like, you can do this in many different forms. But make sure that when we are faced with a decision about what we are doing, make it oriented towards that end, and our life becomes a lot simpler. And that is a big draw for people to the Camino. The mundane, these are all the difficulties of it. These are secondary things to how pleasant it is to have such a clear goal every day. The simplicity of this is where I'm going and I just need to walk. And we really wanted to bring home that same principle of today we want to go to God. How do we get there? And then make every decision formatted to funnel us towards that direction.
Yeah, and simplicity is definitely freedom because you don't have stuff to dominate your life. So certainly that was an overarching principle or theme during your trip on the Camino. Well, Taylor Kemp has been my guest. What a journey, if you will, on the Camino de Santiago de Compostela. And if you want to learn more about this, Taylor has a blog. And Taylor, where can they go to read that blog?
The blog is called onpurposepilgrim.com. We had a bunch of people that wanted to follow along on our trip, so we launched it right before we left. So it's got a handful of posts up there. We continue to try to update it every so often. We just recently were at the Sikh conference run by Focus in Indianapolis, so we have some posts up there from that. So it's just kind of we keep a running update of things that we're doing in our lives. So feel free to follow along.
Yeah, check it out, and you might be inspired to go on the Camino yourself. Well, Taylor, thanks so much. I appreciate it. It's always a great joy to talk with you, and best wishes to you and your family as you embark on. I know you're studying theology, but thank you for joining us today on Blessed to Play.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me, Ron.
Hey, Blessed to Play fans, check us out on the web at www.blessedtoplay.com. That's blessed, the number 2play.com. You could like us on Facebook and hit us up on Twitter at Blessed to Play. For Taylor Kemp, I'm Ron Meyer. We'll catch you next time right here on Blessed to Play.
You've been listening to Blessed to Play with host Ron Meyer on the EWTN Global Catholic Network. If you have a question or comment about today's show, feel free to email us at info@blessedtoplay.com. That's blessed, the number 2play.com. You can also connect with the show on the web at www.blessedtoplay.com. Again, that's blessed, the number 2play.com. Join us again next time for Blessed to Play on the EWTN Global Catholic Network.